Joining me on Beyond the Playlist is JD Duffield. She is a director, and I am happy to have her on. JD, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to have you on. I love having creative people on. I love doing interviews for the Artemis Film Festival. So thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. We're so excited to be a part of Artemis.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started in filmmaking.
I originally started in theater, actually, doing lots of shows. I trained originally as a professional dancer. I've always been a class clown, so comedy's always been something that runs through my veins in most things that I do. So I basically went from doing like TV commercials, theater, music videos, touring shows. Then I transitioned into martial arts. So I started doing some taekwondo and boxing. And then I fell into TV and film work.
Okay, I have to go back and ask a little bit. I was involved with a lot of theater, so I need to ask you what your favorite show is you worked on.
Hair the Musical.
Okay, great, good one. Very good. Show. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your transition into making film. Did you miss the reaction of the audience in real time?
Yes and no. I had to learn to make things a lot smaller for on screen. Because obviously in theater, as you know, you have to play to the back of the audience. So, you know, everything has to become a little bit more minimalistic in your performance and more real. So basically I started auditioning for more TV and film, and then fell into doing some film. And then from that, I fell into kind of the world of action. So I started working on some Hollywood films as part of like a core action team, started doubling, and I loved it. So actually from being a dancer to learning choreography and having the flexibility to then transitioning into martial arts and doing it for TV and film, it felt very natural transition for me. So yeah, it was amazing. I never thought I would be throwing myself down a flight of stairs or being flung up on a wire. But it's all come in handy.
And it looks like you've also started doing some writing too. So you've chosen to start telling your own stories. What brought that in?
You know what? I was a little bit impatient, let's say, of waiting around for the phone to ring. And of course, also in the world of film and TV, there's a lot of typecasting that goes on. So I was a little bit bored of being the girl next door, the gangster's wife, or, you know, the dumb blonde. So I decided to start writing my own scripts, my own characters, things that I could see myself doing and things that I enjoyed. And I basically started my own film production company 2 years ago called Dream More Films. And I basically went off traveling the world, making connections, getting some investment into the company so that I was able to make my own work and, you know, put my voice out there. So the writing has been something that I've always done, but I've never shared my work because I didn't know if I was any good at it, to be honest. But writing has been the main thing that's kept me alive, especially during lockdown. I don't know if you do writing yourself, but it gives you a sense of freedom.
It does. It also helps you process in very creative ways, helps you process your own emotions and your own history, and kind of helps put it through a crystallizing lens, because then you could take things that have bothered you or haunted you or you've been thinking about and process them through this storytelling, and you're able to make a point without, you know, being heavy-handed or ham-fisted about it. You can be kind of nuanced and get these points across to people that you've been thinking about in ways that are entertaining and creative.
You know, absolutely. They say write what you know, and that's where a lot of things come from. And, you know, working in the action industry, that there's numerous stories. So, you know, I've took a lot of things that I write about from situations I've been in or I've experienced or people I've met. You know, people watching is fascinating. I know you don't drink coffee, but, you know, going to a coffee shop and sitting there and watching people go by, it's you know, that's These are where you draw your stories from.
Sitting in train stations or in airports, you get the same idea where you can see two people and you build, and whether you are consciously doing it or not, you build stories around the people you see as they pass by. You look at their dress, you look at their luggage, you look at their shoes, and you start putting things together in your brain. Whether it's real or not, we do it. That's what we do as people.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
And writers happen to have the ability, skill, and wherewithal to spit it out on paper in a way other people are interested in hearing about it. And then filmmakers take that, then take those ideas and put them on film so that people can kind of experience those stories vicariously through other people's lenses.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the other part. I mean, I started getting into writing more kind of TV series because, you know, some stories you feel need more time on screen to tell. I mean, it's a similar thing to writing a film. It's just that you're able to, you know, introduce more characters and really kind of flesh it out on the paper as well. So it's been really, really interesting process.
It's interesting now that TV has moved into a world where you're making, you know, basically 10-hour, 13-hour movies over the course of, you know, 10 or 13 episodes. You are able to tell more complex stories with more nuanced and layered characters. And the idea of, you know, popcorn fun action movies or, you know, pensive thoughts on relationships are still fine for a streamlined storytelling of a 2-hour movie. The idea of people are starting to become accustomed to the nuances of a far more detailed story in 13 hours over the course of 13 weeks than I think a lot of people are looking for in their movies now. I mean, there's a shift in what people are expecting.
I think so too. And I also feel that we've all become a little bit more, our attention span has become less. I find myself looking through Netflix or, Amazon, and I'm like, oh, how long is this episode? Oh, 30 minutes. Oh, great. Yeah. You know, how many episodes are there? Here in London, UK, I mean, we're known for our good dramas, you know, the hour episodes, you know, the well-known faces, really well done. But sometimes we just want something kind of quick to the point, you know, something fun and lighthearted.
That's the thing that I've always enjoyed is like the kind of escapism comedies that are available out there, because I in my regular job, when I was working a regular job, it was kind of a grim, stressful world. And I don't need grim and stressful in my films. I want to be able to giggle and see farcical situations. And I don't need to worry about real life. That's enough. I get enough of that.
I know. And, you know, especially this crazy, crazy pandemic we've been living through as well. It's funny because I've been pitching two very contrast shows. Both comedy, comedy action and a comedy drama, and I'm just hearing how everyone needs to have that escapism, that outlet to laugh, because, you know, we all love a good drama, but comedy is just, it's a natural good therapy for us all. And I think that there should be more comedy being made, more action being made.
And before we kind of jump into what we're here for, in the main reason is, I do have to say that you've bumped into a couple of really big franchises with some work on Fast and the Furious and Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, how did you get involved with those gigantic productions?
I suppose the action world is really small. So I guess that's the main way. And obviously through agencies as well. And word of mouth is always the main one. I've been really fortunate to work on some great movies and to see how it all works as well. The Huntsman Winter's War that I was on, we were kind of the main core action group there, and you know, we're learning how to use axes and weapons, and there's so much going on. It's so exciting. Charlize Theron is probably one of the biggest icons to a lot of women in action, and so to kind of work alongside her. I was trying not to stare at her the whole time. She really is beautiful, you know. It's kind of like, you know, okay, don't freak this woman out. But no, yeah, I mean, and she's a great advocate for women coming up through film and TV. And of course, she does her own stunts. And yeah, she's just a really cool, really cool person.
It's nice to know that even when you've reached a certain level and you're working on certain projects, that you still sometimes have to battle that giddy fan flummox that people get sometimes.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I suppose everyone that asked me when I worked on that, they were like, oh, you worked with Chris Hemsworth. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was kind of more into Charlize at the time.
So tell me a little bit about your current, the film that you've entered into, Artemis, 10 Minutes for a Pound, so that we can kind of know what that's about and what the story is you're telling there.
Yeah. So it came about, so I have a co-director on it, Linda Louise Dwan, who's also a fantastic actress, a stunt woman, and soon to be a producer. She's a really cool girl. We got together, two like-minded people. She studied in clown. I was brought up on a lot of, you know, like the Carry On films and the kind of, you know, Laurel Hardy, Mr. Bean, Jackie Chan style influences. And we both had a similar view. So I went away and wrote a script, 10 Minutes for a Pound, which we entered. And we just kept it very light. The main message behind it was kind of female rage. We literally have a full-blown fight over a spilt coffee. And from there, we wanted to, you know, have a different new modern style way of showing story and action. So we're really trying to bring back that kind of physical comedy to our screens. So that was our main aim for that project.
How much time did it take you to choreograph out your fight scenes and kind of make it so that your storytelling within the fight? Because, I mean, that's one of the things that fights are supposed to do in film and is progress the story and tell a story within that interaction. So how did you work that out so that it was clear what you were up to?
Well, we didn't make it easy for ourselves because obviously we set this piece in a laundromat. So it was a no-brainer to use choreography with the clothes that we had there. So I suppose we had probably four weeks rehearsals, not every day. I remember the first day we got into the studio and we literally brought a bag of clothes and dumped them on the floor and was like, okay, let's see what we can do with this jumper and how we can use this coat. And, you know, so it was, that is the part that took the longest. So once we figured the clothes section out and how we could use them within the choreography, there were actual times that we actually got tied in a knot on the floor with a jumper and us kind of entwined. So yeah, it was such a funny, creative learning curve before we actually got in to do the shoot.
Storytelling within a tight, confined, limited space is an art form, and to be able to pull it off well is hard. And for people to do it within the confines of a story on top of that is also, it makes it even harder. So I understand that you put a challenge up for yourself. So kudos to you for doing that.
Well, I have to also tell you that we shot that short over 2 days. The funny story is we had paid for the location, but there were rules. So the rules were that we had to let people come in and do their laundry. So we worked with an open shop, which was a nightmare, but also part of the fun. So I have to tell you, I had no idea how big the laundromat scene was. I presume people did their washing at home. But there's a whole community of people that still use these laundromats, and mostly OAPs that didn't really appreciate us using it as a playground. So we had a few interesting complaints. But of course, we're nice people. We offered to pay for their washing as long as they would just keep out the way of the camera whilst we were trying to kill each other. So that was a real fun process as well.
Well, so there's your story for your next project is a sitcom, 30-minute sitcom about the people who hang out in laundromats.
Honestly, it's a whole new world of people. And that they take a huge pride in it too.
I mean, it worked for Cheers. It could work for a laundromat.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Well, tell me a little bit of how you found out about Artemis and got involved with that film festival, because you're in the UK. So you're an international applicant for the festival.
Yeah, I think originally I did Zoe Bell, the mm-hmm. stunt woman. I think that maybe she had some involvement in Artemis. I could be wrong. I think she's one of Tarantino's favorite stunt women that was on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So I think I saw some advertisement either through her, but I also specifically, when I was looking to put this project into festival, was looking for that kind of female driven festival. And of course, if it had action, even better. So yeah, it was just a lot of kind of searching and digging around.
Now that you've kind of completed this project and it's doing the festival circuit, do you have your eyes targeted on something next? What's next for you?
That's a good question. As I mentioned earlier, I've been pitching two TV series that I've written. And just starting a third series that I've started writing. So I'm actively pitching to production companies, broadcasters. So my next step for me is looking for that development deal to take these projects further. I find as I'm talking to a lot of people, I'm definitely kind of fill in a gap in the market and where I'm writing, because the style that I like to do, I like to cross genre things. And sometimes people are a bit afraid of that, adding comedy and action mm-hmm. into television or that comedy drama. So I'm really trying to push to get those off the ground, as well as I'm producing and acting in another short, hopefully this summer as well, which is called Choose Your Weapon. And this has a very interesting style to it, because it's about women after pregnancy that have suffered with postnatal depression, and they're having these major fears about leaving their house with their child and how they could get hurt. And so Choose Your Weapon, it gives them this imaginary world of how they would defeat their enemies. So it was a really nice concept that I liked. And hopefully, again, once we filmed that, I can enter it into Artemis again, because we're really hoping to bring the action out in that as well as a female-driven story. So there's lots in the pipeline.
Well, it's good to hear, because it seems like your vision of the stories and the messages you want to tell and the stories you want to tell and share are modern enough that you're pushing the ideas forward, but you're pulling back to some classic ideas like the dramedy and the, you know, that was the sitcoms of the, you know, 70s and early 80s had a lot of drama elements, but they also were funny. I mean, MASH is a great example of lots of dramatic moments, but that was a slapstick comedy on top of it. You know, All in the Family, also incredibly dramatic at times, but also a comedy. So you're pushing the idea forward with new concepts and new stories, but the actual structure is one that's a tried and true method that people seem to have forgotten about.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, once I'm having these people read my scripts and they're so into it. Oh, I want to know what's going to happen next. And, you know, I love this tone. I just think people need to take more risk. And I'm really hoping that there will be a change in the industry. I was hoping that with lockdown and everything that's been going on, that, you know, comedy in any aspect, whether it has action attached or drama, I just feel that, especially something here in the UK, that they could really do with, you know, we had like Mr. Bean and mm-hmm. and people like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Fawlty Towers is a perfect example of the quintessential British comedy.
Totally. And all I'm trying to do, I mean, I'm a big fan of Tarantino. I like Tarantino's work. I think he's a genius. And he knows how to do story. And you know, I feel like there's definitely a gap for that. You know, and I hope that time will come. But you know, I'm a new writer. I'm not a celebrity, which is always an uphill battle. But I think that they should be taking risk on new voices.
Well, I think we could have an entire conversation for hours about how risk has seemed to have disappeared in a lot of mainstream stuff, because when something happens, something hits, everyone tries to duplicate that story, that method, that formula. Yeah. And they just create different iterations on it to various levels of success and or failure. And I wish that the original idea was way more celebrated than the flashier iteration on something that's already been done.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I feel the same. I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that it's something that will open up. In the UK, I mean, as I said before, we have great drama, we have great shows, but you do see a lot of the same faces, same writers.
Yeah.
And in the US, you have obviously a huge, huge market of things. I mean, I do feel that the US do take a lot more risk, actually, on shows they do. I think, was it HBO that did Barry?
Yes, and Barry was brilliant.
You know, that's a prime example of, you know, it's not totally original idea, but it was done really well. And he played his part well, like the reverse, and not your usual hitman, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that sort of show, it was great. And I just feel like there's so much more room for shows like that as well.
And I think really the long form TV, or the short episode structure of TV, giving the long form story more room to breathe, is probably the future of the kind of stories I feel like you're trying to tell, where the characters are more layered and more nuanced, so that there's dimension and conflict when things happen, because the two dimensional straight ahead storytelling, it's fine, it serves a purpose, but it doesn't carry the same gravitas as far as the messages you're trying to tell as it used to.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it doesn't matter how much kind of action, and, you know, we all love watching action, but it purely is down to story and those characters that you write. I mean, that's why series do so well, if, you know, to bring the audience back, you know, numerous times to tune in and watch another episode and want to know what happens to this character. You know, I think that, and that's the thing, that's given writers so many more opportunities as well, to write bigger stories. But they just need to bring in those new voices, get them in the room.
Yeah, exactly. And so I have a question then. And this is, I'm kind of speaking from a place of not a ton of knowledge, but some. Is the developmental and pitching process different in the UK because of the way that the BBC is structured than it is in the United States? Or is it this pretty much the same kind of uphill battle?
Well, you know, I mean, I love the BBC. The BBC platform is fantastic. ITV is great. You know, Channel 4 is also got... is showing more new voices. I suppose the uphill climb is, you know, as a writer, most of these broadcasters or platforms or even production companies, they will not read unsolicited material. So that's barrier number one, because if you don't have an agent or representation, you're not going to get your work read. I suppose the second uphill climb would be if you're new at writing or you're a new performer and you haven't got the credits that you need to get to the next step. But obviously without being given the opportunity, how do you build your resume? How do you build your experience? And I suppose the third one is, you know, a lot of platforms, broadcasters, they tend to use the same people. So they'll go to people that have already made a show and it's been successful. So they're really the three main areas that are a problem. I don't take no for an answer. You know, I've been in the industry from a very young age, and rejection is just something I'm used to now. That's like what I drink in my coffee every day. So it's not something that I tend to take to heart too much. I just think, you know, for anyone out there that's trying to create something, put themselves out there, keep persistent, you know, keep going. You know, if this was easy, then everyone would be doing it. It's probably one of the hardest careers, but it's also the most rewarding. And for me, it's not about all the awards and things like that. Like for me, it's an art. I want people to look at my work and know that it's my work. And just to also, you know, like I said, bring back that physical comedy to screens and get some more females into writers' rooms. We don't have major writers' rooms here. I am part of a group here called Comedy 50/50, which is ran by Saskia Shushka and Emma Bernard, both used to work at ITV. And it's amazing because what they've done, they've created this kind of family where all these unrepresented female writers can come and they can have mentoring. And, you know, we have regular workshops with great teachers. And, you know, it gives us a place that we can belong and also grow as well. So I can only advise everyone to get involved in as much as they can and just to, you know, stick to your vision.
Where can people find you, follow you, keep up with what you're doing, that kind of stuff, get more information on your projects, those kind of things?
Yeah. So my film TV website is dreammorefilms.com. On there, you can probably access most of my links. I go under, JD Duffield. That's my handle on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all of those areas. I'm not on Clubhouse. I know this has been like a big creative wave. Are you on Clubhouse?
Oh, no, I don't like meetings that much. Clubhouse is the platform for people who like meetings, and I don't like meetings. So I'm not on Clubhouse. I tried it. I got a lot of alerts for meetings. And I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that. And I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an Android fan, so I can't even access the app anyway. So.
I consider you lucky then.
I mean, I can't keep up. I mean, there's TikTok, there's all of these platforms.
And I feel like I'm too old for TikTok. I already know that.
It's kind of fun. It's good to watch. You don't have to participate.
My wife and daughters both love the TikTok, and I get to see plenty of humorous videos, but I feel like I aged out, out of that particular form of social media. I might be what people might consider a social media curmudgeon.
You know, it's not a bad thing. I mean, social media, I try to limit, because obviously it can take over your life, and you don't want to read into things too much. So I try to do as much posting as I can. But I'm not really keen on letting people know when I'm having a shower or when I'm having dinner. You know? Yeah, no, I totally understand. I mean, I think I started on Facebook too with family, and it always fascinates me the requests you get. I mean, that's always quite comedic as well sometimes. The people that add you or try to add you. I'm sure there's probably some comedy sketch there.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you taking time out of your evening and chatting with me. This has been really nice.
Yeah, that's been great. Thank you so much, Hammond. It's been awesome to chat with you.
For more Beyond the Playlist, you can go to jhammondc.com. You can follow me on Twitter at jhammondc. You can email the show, jhammondc@gmail.com, or you can find the Facebook group, Beyond the Playlist with J. Hammond C. The theme music is by MFTJ, featuring Mike Keneally and Scott Shore. More recordings from MFTJ are available on Lazy Bones Records. See the link in the show notes for more fine releases from them. The cover art is by Phil Grew. If you like the show, you can support me at patreon.com/jhammondc. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Playlist.